Well, good evening. You know, originally we had plans the whole group was going to sing, you know, because every time we went anywhere, they wanted us to sing in the schools. Wherever we went, the whole group went and sang. So I guess my theory is my voice would kind of drown the rest of y'all out. Is that what it was? Maybe that. I don't know. But anyway, also, you know, I was kind of afraid that they might try to recruit me for the praise team, too. So I'm kind of glad we stuck it like that. We did a good job of doing that. You know, it's weird because the last few times I've done this, I would have all these notes of things to go over of the places we went to, and they always would steal my thunder. So my notes would be for naught, basically. This time, I prepared that they're going to go over all this stuff. So, I prepared a specific message, and now all that thunder, they didn't steal it. So now I want to go back and redo it all, say some things, but we won't do that. But anyway, it was a blessing. Besides the four you saw here, we had Maria's sister was with us, and we also had another group from sister churches, and there was another four of them. So there was 9 of us total in our group. So that was a blessing. 9 and 10 is a really good number. I mean, they've had groups as large as 28, so don't let that throw you. They've had some big groups in there. But anyway, I'm going to try to speak upon, you know, like Carol mentioned, we went to church on Sunday. We went to this church. They spoke in Spanish. Luckily, we had Brother Ryan there interpreting for us the message. So I was able to take notes as well. And that's really the passage that I'm going to read from tonight that's going to lead to my message. And it's in Colossians 4. So I'm going to read from Colossians 4. I'm going to read the first 6 verses from there. And it really spoke to me as well. The message was really, really, really good. And before I get started and read this, it was truly a pleasure and joy for all to serve with them and to serve with the other group. It's always fun. You get to know them better. It was just a great time we had. Never a dull moment. So anyway, let's read from Colossians 4. We're going to read verses 1 through 6. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Now here we go. Listen to this. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know ye ought to answer every man. One thing I learned, I know this from the past, you know, from my experience, I'm getting old too. I'm getting pretty old. Goodness, older. But you know, I'm experiencing, when one thing I've learned, missionaries, pastors, full-time people in the ministry, full-time folks, they have a tough job. It's just basic. They have a tough job. You know, we were over there. There's so many obstacles. There's so many hard times. There's so many challenges. You know, we were only there for 1 week. But yet, here's some things that happened to us in that week. They didn't really go over any of this thing. Okay, we experienced a lot of delays. Okay, you got to be patient. You got to have that grace. You got to be flexible, which I'm not strong in. I'm not strong in those areas. So I've gotten better. I have gotten better. I have gotten much better. I used to be, hey, come on, 6:30, let's go, 6:30, I was ready. I've gotten better, I'm a little better, I still need to improve. But you know what, not only, for just 1 week, here's some of the things that happened. We had delays, we had cancellations. So I think there was at least one feeding center that got postponed or we got delayed, because, you know, wires get crossed over there, you know, so we have to adapt and do something else. We had a feeding center that got canceled at the last second, so we had to go somewhere else. We had car vehicle problems and vehicle trouble. The truck got delayed so long that we couldn't go to another feeding center we were going to go to. So we had to do something else. We had, of course, we had the time. They don't even think they know this. Maria, if she's still in here, she might know this. But we took a truck. I think it was the day we were going to the Valley of the Angels. You know, that's like their shopping area where you can get souvenirs. Come visit this table when you got a chance. There's a lot of souvenirs, a lot of cool things you can get there. So that's where we were going. It's down a mountain, up a mountain. It's pretty. The pictures did not do it justice. I appreciate Margaret did an awesome job of putting that together. But it doesn't do justice when you're there live and seeing all of that. But guess what? We're going down the mountain, getting ready to go to the Valley of Angels. We're probably 5 or 10 minutes away. I'm in the truck. I'm in the lead truck. I'm in the front seat with Marvin, our driver. Marvin, just Spanish only. The people in the back seat was Maria and her sister, Spanish. They're having all these Spanish conversations, probably a way I can learn. They were speaking in Spanish the whole time. So I didn't, once in a while, Maria would say, Brother John, and she'd either translate or ask me a question in English. But we're going down this mountain, 10 minutes away from our destination. The brakes go out on the truck. And I'm in the front seat. Brakes are going out. Marvin, cool, crisp, he just handled it really well, but he kept telling me, he looked at me, brakes are gone, the brakes are gone. And I'm just, but he told me, here's what he kept whispering and being polite about it because he did not want the two ladies in the back to get alarmed and scared. So he's saying, don't tell him, we'll manage. He didn't care about my feelings or my fears. But here we go down this mountain and the brakes are going out. But, you know, I guess they didn't go fully out because he was able to control the vehicle. We got it off to the side. And then they had to go and take that truck to get fixed, to get new brakes. And that was a hefty little bill. And that's what delayed one of our feeding centers, I believe. But that was a you know, one of those things that happened. You've got to be flexible over there. But anyway, the brakes did get fixed. We were able to go to that feeding center eventually. But then we got wires crossed again. We were going to go to the feeding center, feeding center in school, Suyapa. Remember Suyapa? We got our wires crossed. They gave us at wrong time, so we were there way too early. We had plans, you know, on the schedule, so we couldn't end up going there. But we were able to see that feeding center anyway. And another thing that happened that nobody mentioned, and I'll say this, I don't think it's a big deal anymore, but one of the admin folks that's on this staff, I'm not sure if it was the day we left or the day, it was like either the day we left or a day or two before we left. He is the admin guy. We didn't actually see him at all this trip because he kind of does the behind the scene things. He's going to take the money. He's going to deposit it into the local banks. He's usually going to do this in the main capital city of Tegucigalpa. So it's a drive. It's a big city. And when you hear about the dangers, that's kind of a dangerous city. He takes public transportation. He took a bus. He got robbed. He got robbed by some bandits there. They forced him to give, he had to give everything up. So he lost his phone, he lost all the money, he lost everything. I don't know if that happened when we left. It was right around the time I think we left. But he lost all this stuff, and it was a scary thing for him, obviously. But we, you know, one thing you need to understand about this trip is we do have security when we go to any kind of dangerous place. So we're not going to go on public transportation on a bus to Tegucigalpa. That's just not going to happen. Like Margaret and others said, we're pretty safe. We've got security when we need security. We've got the transportation with this group. So we're not going to deal with that, but that did happen. And he put out an email a day or two later trying to, you know, raise some money for that because that money that he was going to put in the bank was going to pay their staff, the same staff that took care of us, the cleaning, the feeding, and so forth. So I hope, I'm going to ask him again, I hope they've raised that money and they are able to get that. But, you know, again, part of the mission trip, the brakes might go out, you know, just adjust, be flexible, see if you can handle it. So that was one of the things, a lot of cancellations and so forth. But anyway, before I'm going to actually get into the heart of my message, I'm going to come up with three simple points on how we can be better prayer warriors and just a better blessing to missionaries. Now, you can really extend this out. This could be something that you're, you know, this could apply to pastors. This could apply to all, you know, people that kind of serve in the ministry full time. But my focus is really going to be on missionaries, and my focus is going to be on the missionary that we just came from. So it's Final Frontiers and Touch of Life is going to be where most of my examples are going to be coming from. But three very simple, common sense type of points that I'm going to go over. And the first one is simply, you know, and again, it seems basic, but I'm going to expound on them a bit. Number one, we need to pray with purpose, and we need to know the specific needs. Now, praying is an obvious thing we need to do for the people that we talked about in that passage that I read. But you know, the prayer it talks about in that passage, it's a constant prayer, it's a steadfast prayer, it's a prayer that perseveres. It's a prayer. It's not a lazy prayer. Now, there's a time for generic prayers because we've, you know, just our church alone, I don't know what the latest count is, but we've got, I think, over 100 missionaries that we support. And, you know, you're not going to be able to know or get personal or have a specific connection with all these. You can pray for them generically, but there's going to be some I'm going to talk about in this message that you need to get to know in a personal way. And I'm going to go over some things on how I think we can do that. 1 Thessalonians 5:25, Paul says, brethren, pray for us. Now, even a seasoned veteran like Paul was begging for us to pray for him when he was out doing his thing. That needs to be something we take seriously. So, but how can we do this since there's so many? And again, we've got probably about 100. But we've got to get to a point where we get to know a few that really, really tug on our heart. We need to subscribe to newsletters, and a lot of us do that when they're here. We need to go. By the way, does anybody know we do have a folder out in the lobby that's got all the latest missionary letters? Does everybody know that? A lot of people don't know that. Probably nobody stopped. Go and get to know a few. There's going to be some that tug at your heart. You're going to have a specific connection with certain missionaries. I'll give you lots of examples here. And by the way, Miss Dillon, she's got a ministry that deals with this. Now, I think it's only ladies. Am I right? I don't think men get involved with that. But I think they have the opportunity to pray for missionaries specifically, have a missionary of the month. I think they even maybe write letters and birthday letters and stuff to them. So that's a very needed ministry that they do. That ministry alone, you can do what I'm saying. There's a connection. It's personal. They're going to know these. They're going to know what to pray for and how to pray for them. So we need to do that. We sponsor three missionaries that are outside this church that we've been sponsoring for a long time, me and Tina. Guess where they're from? England. Three missionaries in England we've been supporting for a long time now, before we even came to this church. Now, is there a connection, do you think, that we've got there? There's a connection. I've got a wife that was from England. My wife doesn't have a single person that she knows of that's saved. Not a single relative in England saved. It's been a burden for a long time. Man, let's get some missionaries, you know. I analyze, I research, and I found the ones, vetted them myself, and I found them, and I'm in communication with them, and I know them. And I'm going to, you know, support these three missionaries from England in hopes one day there's going to be an opportunity for, you know, get a hold of some of her family. That was the awesome, the goal for that to happen. But there's a connection. It's personal, right? It is personal. So out of 100 missionaries, you're going to be able to find a handful that's personal to you, a specific ministry, a specific country. You are going to find that. And, you know, do your own diligence and get to know them. Study them. Read the newsletters. Don't ignore them. Show up for missions conference. Very important. Show up. Be here when we have missionary guest speakers. Get to know them. Get to know them personally. Again, there's just no way I'm going to be able to know all of these, but I can know some. And we're going to talk about that during this. But pray for them in a personal way. Final Frontiers, Touch a Life. This is the ministry that we went to, and it kind of puts on these missionary and visionary trips. It's called Final Frontiers. Touch a Life is kind of an umbrella under that. Actually, we found out in this visit that now they're two kind of separate things, but they're still together. So it's Final Frontiers, Touch a Life. There's other umbrellas under those ministries. There's like a Bible smuggler ministry. There's a lot of stuff under this ministry. But it's a connection that I've got because I've been with these, I think it's been at least 10, 11 years since we first started to get to know this ministry from a previous church and when I went on my first trips. I got to know them. We got to know them personally. We actually started sponsoring a Honduras family over there. And I was looking through my notes because we got to go see them again, like I always do, in person. Their house is amazing. We got to do that again this year. And I just realized when I was taking my notes, it's been 10 years since we've been sponsoring that family. You know, the first kid was born when we decided to take him on, because we started off sponsoring one young daughter, which was back then, how old was she, 6? Then there was another girl that was 1 or 2, and then the boy wasn't even existing. So we kept learning and getting connected to him, and they had another boy. So we've been sponsoring those 3 kids for over 10 years now, and we were able to visit them again. So there's a personal connection, and it makes it personal. It makes it real. It's one of my highlights of the whole trip is getting to go to their house. And a lot of the group comes along with me. I think they enjoy it too, just seeing that, seeing a real family that we've been sponsoring and pray for. And I'm going to go a little more into that visit here shortly after. But it's personal. We're connected. This trip, I said, you know, we've been sponsoring for 10 years. I've been on 5 or 6 of these trips. I've always gone and seen them. I don't know the language. Every time I'm up here in the pulpit, I'm going to learn Spanish. I'm going to learn Spanish. And, you know, I know words and I hear words and I know some things, but I cannot have a conversation. I'm still not even close to being there. Maria, I don't know if she had to leave, but Maria said she's going to teach me Spanish lessons. So I'm going to take her up on that maybe. Because Maria kept talking. Matter of fact, Maria would always hold me, I was lazy and I'd always say good morning. No, what is it in Spanish? She would try to do that. And you know, that's how you learn. But I need to get better at Spanish so I can talk to it. But I do have a translator. I do have an interpreter there, Brother Ryan, who was mentioned. He goes up there with us, and he's able to translate. But it's awesome. It's awesome, but it's still not the same if I could talk to him, you know, in the same Spanish tongue. But this time I wrote a letter. I wrote a long letter, and I told him how long. It's been 10 years, and I basically told him how much we pray for him every night and that they're a blessing to us. And I went down the line, and they had the father lined up and the mother lined up and all the three kids and some other relatives that were there as well. But I was able to read that letter as my interpreter, you know, translated it. And it was just felt awesome being able to do that. But this time I actually got into the salvation. You know, I don't know why. I don't know why I didn't. You know, it was about giving them gifts, telling them we loved them and we prayed for them. But this is the first time that I actually gave them the gospel. They have heard the gospel before, but I gave it to them in a letter. And I thought they were pretty attentive, especially the father, pretty attentive on that as my interpreter is translating to me. So I know at the very least, if they're not saved, I know the seed's been planted. Brother Ryan, that's over there, he's the main missionary that's kind of full-time in Honduras that was mentioned before. He's fluent in Spanish. I think he was born and raised in the Dominican Republic, and now he's from Ohio, but he's fluent in Spanish. And in that ministry, he has done amazing things over there because he, again, even John Nelms is not, he's not Spanish fluent, the guy that actually runs Final Frontiers. He knows a little bit, but he's not fluent. His wife is, but he's not. So Brother Ryan is able to do so many things. And, you know, we were able to talk to him several times during this trip and the things he's got in mind. You know, they've got their organization and their organization is just, it's got a good reputation over there in the village. The cops love them. There's cops there every night having coffee and cookies or something. They've got politicians that are there. They've got a big influence in the whole community, actually in the whole country. You know, so they're doing so many things. Ryan is teaching classes. He's discipling men. I went to him on a few of those journeys, and we actually had discipleship classes, and he preached, and he's doing so many things. They're hoping to be able to do what for all the cops, and, you know, the cops want to come here. It's not like he's begging either. So he's got all these opportunities, and we just pray for them and pray for that ministry to just keep going and keep going and keep going. But Brother Ryan, he was a blessing to us. His whole family, like Carol mentioned him by name, we were able to play with him and do things with him the whole time we were there and took him some goodies, and it was great. So again, you can find a handful of missionaries that you can connect with, and it makes it easier to pray for ones that you're connected to. So just keep that in mind. Get connected, read it, study up on the countries. There's got to be something that's going to be convicting to you or close to your heart. A certain country, a certain language, a certain culture. There's going to be something up there. Read the newsletters. You know, get connected to this, and it'll be much better off. You know, Brother John Nelms, who founded Final Frontiers 40 years ago, he's getting to be an old man now. He's I think about 70 now. He found that ministry 40 years ago. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm old too. If that helps any, I'm old too, man. I'm in my late 50s, and I consider myself old too. So hey. So that was not a cut down at anybody. That wasn't a cut down at many. But, Brother John Nelms said this himself. That's why Brother Ryan and his family came here. He's kind of taken a lot of their labor off. He's doing all the things John used to do when he was younger. And Ryan and them are doing a great job, like I said. But Brother John Nelms will be here this October for the missions conference. I just can't wait for that. That's going to be awesome. Hopefully he brings his wife. Nolene is fluent in Spanish. She helped us a lot while we were there. But it's going to be a great hearing about it. I can't do justice for their ministry. A lot of people think this is just about Honduras and about feeding kids. No, this ministry is large and they do so much. There's just a ministry alone that Bible smuggles into dangerous countries. There's stories after stories where people on his, you know, teams have gotten, you know, shot at and attempted. I mean, it's dangerous what they do, some of these ministries. But he's going to be able to talk about that when he comes up down in October. But you know what? When we know our missionaries personally in a personal way, our prayers will change as well as our hearts. The prayers will be different when you know, when you're personal, when you're connected. When a heart is truly full of gratitude, it cannot keep its pockets closed. You know, gratitude turns to generosity. And that it kind of leads one another, which is my second point. My second point is provide with promise, supporting their labor. We've got to do that. Colossians 4, 5, again, it says to walk in wisdom, redeeming the time. Galatians 6, 6 says, let him that is taught in the word communicate, or we can translate to, or share unto him that teacheth in all good things. You know, I think this actually suggests we've got to financially support our pastors, our missionaries, our people that are out there doing that in the fields. That is our responsibility, and we have to do that. And again, you know, just in 1 week's time, so many things we noticed that went wrong over there. And there's so many needs. There's so many burdens. There's so many things that can be opened up for them to do over there. And we just hope every year I go back there, there's something new. It's amazing. They're in the process now, and I'm not going to steal all of his thunder because I'm sure he's going to talk about this in October. They're in the process of turning their compound. They're going to try to create some revenue, and they're going to actually try to open up one of the local Honduras pizza places in their campus on their compound. And I think the model is going to be buy a pizza, feed a kid. Every bit of that's going to go towards their ministry. And they've just got so many they've got so many great ideas that they're doing and so many things that they're going to be doing that's going to just open up doors. And I've seen it firsthand. I've been over there several times in the last few years. So anyway, we've got to provide that promise. We've got to support the labor. You know, one way we can obviously do this is through faith promise. You know, we can definitely support them. We can definitely use our faith promise. It's going to allow us to redeem the time by doing that. But it's not just about writing a check. You know, we got to go back to making it personal. We do. You know, the money that we distribute for our missionaries in certain places, in this example, we can say, you know, it's just we're writing a check, but it's actually helping buy new brakes for their vehicle that's taken so. I think his first truck's got 600,000 or 700,000 miles on it. This thing's been around forever, and they just keep fixing it, and they keep going up in the mountains and the roads and the terrain and the bumpy pothole. It's a rough terrain up there, but these trucks keep on lasting, and they keep moving when the brakes are working. So we've got to continue. When we're actually writing that check, don't think of it as, oh, you know, I've got to give to missions or I've got to do my faith promise. You're buying brakes on a truck that's got 600,000 miles on it. You know what else you're doing? You know, you're also feeding, you're providing food for those feeding centers that we saw. They've got, I believe he said now, I think they're up to, I could be wrong here, but I think they're up to about 13 feeding centers just in Honduras, right? Just in Honduras, where they feed the kids. A lot of times that's the only meal they get is there at the feeding centers that they create. They're such a big ministry, though. They've got feeding centers in India. They've got them in Vietnam. They've got them in, I think, in Egypt. They're just all over the world. They've got these things. But they do so much great work. So, you know, that's instead of writing the check, they're doing things like that. It's also about buying a new roof over the overhang or over the churches, one of the local churches. Every time we go there, there's needs. Oh, we need to do this, or we need to build this feeding center. We need to build a place where they can meet for church. I mean, these aren't fancy buildings I'm talking about. Very the basics of churches. That's all it really is, right? That's where they're going to meet, and they're going to talk about that. But they're always doing things and finding ways to do things, and that's where our missions dollars are going. That's what we like to see. We're actually seeing it in practice. We're actually seeing the action being done for what we contribute. It's not only the check, though. It's also about supporting them in a non-monetary way and being there with them when possible, being a blessing. Being their support mechanism. And I think of Maria here, Maria and her sister, Ovidia? I cannot say names. Ovidia. That was her sister's name. And, you know, we went to this hospital on Sunday. And again, I think it's been said it's not in the greatest of conditions. I think we didn't get to see the kids' wards. We saw a men's area, and we saw a woman's area. We didn't get to go to the kids, which would probably been a really tough. I think they load 8 kids in a room there. But the adults we saw, no AC, not good conditions, all crowded in a room. And by the way, you know, I guess you can call it National Health because they cannot deny or turn them away. But you know what? If you cannot pay, you've paid for everything when you're over there. You're going to pay for your food. You're going to pay for your bed. You're going to pay for everything inside that hospital. And what they're going to do, they can't untreat you, but what they're going to do is, we had this happen while we were there. If they don't have the money to pay for their bed or their room or whatever the case may be, and the family's not there helping them, they've got to stay there until they come up with money or until somebody can give them the money. I think we were there, and I think there was two different people that we had to give money to just for them to leave to get back to their home. And even their trip getting home, they were going to hitchhike and go up 80 different mountain ranges. It was not a good thing. But that's what the conditions were. They were not good. And again, we've got to be grateful for what we do have here. We're far from perfect, but man, seeing those hospitals was tough. We were able to give over 100 and some odd hygiene bags to them, and they were so grateful and appreciative. We got told that there was one lady there that was on her last days, and Brother Ryan was requested specifically to go talk to her and share the gospel with her. And I was actually in the room with him when he did this. And she seemed to be alert. She seemed to be understanding what he was saying to her. And we found out, I think it's 2 days later, she did pass into glory, hopefully into glory. Hopefully she did get saved then, or she was already saved. We also ran into another lady that was from an Indian tribe way up in the mountains. We didn't go to that tribe this year, but it's like a 3 to 4 hour drive. It's up hilly mountains and potholes. It's a rough drive, rough terrain. We'll probably go there next year. But anyway, we found a lady from that tribe in the hospital, and I think we gave some money for her. That's the lady that had to get out of there and pay just to get back home. So the hospital, it opened your eyes. It was a blessing. We were able to give so many things out, and we gave some other little goodies out, but it was a blessing. But anyway, I kind of sidetracked there. Maria and her sister were a big-time blessing. You got to understand, these groups that go on these trips, I think they have about 8 to 10 groups a year that go over there. It's not very common for Spanish fluent people to go over there. That, I guess it's just not, because that's rare. And when Ryan is in the hospital, he's the only individual there translating and interpreting. You know, you've got six people in a room and all the family members, and he's really spread thin. But guess what? Maria and her sister were able to really help and be a blessing to Ryan. Ryan said he did not want them to leave. Ryan wanted them to stay with them forever. And that just goes and shows you before, I think I'm going to mention this again later, but you Spanish fluent people in the crowd, I think that airplane's calling your name next year. You could be just a ginormous blessing just being able to do that. Don't get me wrong. We've got an interpreter. We've got another couple of people that can help us. But when we're at the ladies' night, Friday night, when was that? What night? Wednesday night. Tuesday night. We had about 60 ladies show up for that. And we had two men somehow snuck in there. It was a ladies' night, but two men snuck in there and got a free meal out of it, and they got to hear the stuff. But, you know, when we interact with that type of people, that type of crowds, and, you know, when I was in the men's discipleship thing and everything, there's only, like, one Ryan. There might be one Nolene. And guess what? Here's these guys trying to have full-fledged conversations with me, and I'm not going to do very good. I can kind of do things and say things. And you know what? Google Translator is great. But guess what? It doesn't work when you're up way in the mountains of Honduras. It's not working. I didn't even think about that. It did not work. So I was not able to use that technology when we were at these places. But people that are fluent in Spanish, what a blessing y'all would be. They just don't get that much. And, you know, Ryan's spread thin, and he's doing all these things. And you know, Maria and her sister, I think the driver, Marvin, wanted to adopt him too and have him stay there. All the conversations they were having together, and the ladies, the staff, you know, they were just a blessing. Nadia was the same way last year. You know, it's just a blessing. If you can speak the language, or if you're close, or you want to learn, and, you know, maybe we can sign up as a team to learn it better. Somebody can teach us. But what a blessing they were to be able to do that. And they were there to support the missionaries, not just from a monetary standpoint. It was just a huge blessing. But another reason for y'all to join us on next year's Visionary Missionary Trip is just to truly just open your eyes and see all the needs and the burdens. And they're everywhere. I mean, we could see them on the streets of San Antonio, no doubt. It is different. It's a different culture. It's different over there. There's so many needs over there. And you're just able to see those. You're able to see the burdens for Ryan and Brother John, and they want to do so much, and they can only do so much. You know, you can only do so much. So that's why I love being able to take a team over there and doing all these things to help them out. You know, to go to the hospitals, to raise the money for the food bags, to put on these services for ladies' night. Typically, what they do, it's an extra thing you can do over there, and I volunteer for it every year. Okay, they say you have three choices. You can have a men's night, like a service that we put together. We did the men's night a couple years ago, didn't we? Then we did an elderly one, I think, last year. And then this time was the ladies. So those are the three groups. And they all have different different audience, you know, just different, just a different type of crowd for all of them. But it's just amazing. Typically, how we would do that is, you know, we usually start this at 5 or 6 o'clock. Typically, what we do is we'll go down to the village and drive in vehicles at 4 o'clock, trying to just drum up business to come see us. Hey, we got a service for you. We're gonna sing. We're gonna stand, not dance. We're gonna sing. We're gonna play games. We're gonna give out prizes. I was gonna say sing and dance. No, that's not gonna be us. But that's all we did. We would go down to the village and we would drum up business. We're gonna tell them, and you know, we're gonna feed you a meal at the end of it. We would have 50 or 60 people show up in within an hour. I don't think we could, if we pulled went to that neighborhood back here, I don't think the same results would be. I don't think we'd get those same results. But it's amazing how hungry they are, how open they are. And by the way, the schools that we went to and gave the gospel and played games with and gave food bags with, they allowed us to share the gospel. This is a public school. And I asked my interpreter, I said, okay, can I say this? Can I say that? Yeah, and we did. And he actually led them in the gospel, lay your hands on the desk, raise your hands. And we had 8 kids raise their hands on one day at the school. We couldn't do that in these schools here, locally. They would boot us out of there in a heartbeat. But it's amazing how open that they are that we can do that. We can say what we want. I actually said, what about the military? Can I mention that? Because I was going to tell them I've been around the world and been all these countries and stuff like that. Yeah, man, we basically could say what we wanted to in these public schools. You know, it was such a blessing to be there with those kids. We played games. You heard that one video clip of he's doing the blood, you know, the hands, the shoulders, and all that in Spanish. And then dulces is the dulces, the candy. And then once they say that, they grab the candy. We were playing that with them a lot, and they loved that. They loved that. I actually played twice and got beat both times. I let them win, but I was going to let the kid win both times. I did. But it was just a blessing to be able to do that. I guess I did more time than I thought. I got to hurry it up. Sorry. Anyway, we got to provide with promise. We got to support them monetarily and non-monetarily. It's going to be a blessing. We did that in so many of the places we were able to do that. But you know what happens when we pray and we finance and support these missionaries, these ministries? We are part of that ministry. You know, all the money that y'all helped raise for those food bags, y'all were part of that. When we went to deliver every bag of food or hygiene bags, y'all were part of that. When somebody got saved and you're praying for a missionary or you're actually, you know, doing that or giving to that missionary, you're part of that when somebody gets saved. We're part of that. We're all part of that. We're partakers in that. And that's an amazing thought to think about that. Last page, and I'm going to go very quick. Man, where'd time go? Went fast. But it's an awesome feeling being able to do that. You know, praise the Lord, we can send our dollars across the lands and across the ponds for new breaks and for food. But a missionary cannot live on bread alone. Their spirits can get heavy. They can even feel isolated and alone. We need to learn how to encourage them, which leads to my final point. We proclaim them with praise by encouraging them. Again, Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Now, I know we can encourage them by praying them and giving them financial support and other non-monetary support, but I mean something real, something real. 1 Thessalonians 5:12 and 13, esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. You know, when able, give them a handshake, give them a word, give them a touch, look them in the eye, shake their hands. You know, this can be the ammunition for a weary servant. That means when there's a missions conference, show up. I've often heard the pastor say and missionaries say, the biggest encouragement you can be is to show up and be here. They need to see that you care. They need to see that you're there for them and with them. And I think that we need to make it personal. And at the handshake, when they're here, shake their hands, speak to them, tell them that you're grateful for them. That's something that just really touches their heart and blesses them while they blessed us. So let's remember to do those type of things. Anytime we have a missionary speaker, a missions conference, let's do that. We're going to have opportunities galore over there in Final Frontier, but all around in different things. Just tell them how grateful for we are with them. And again, Miss Dillon's ministry, ladies, if you're not going, you know, look into that. See if you can help out with that. They do a lot of that type of stuff that really helps them out. Just a personal letter, a simple kind of act is truly going to bless them. We appreciate everything that they did for us over there, the entire staff that's been mentioned. The very last night, we decided to all take up a big love offering for their staff. I think there's 9 staff members total. They fed us every meal. They transported us everywhere. They just took care of us. So we gave them, you know, these people are not making money working there. They're making very little. We were able to give them, I think, a pretty substantial love offering for each and every one of them. And They would, unfortunately, give their testimony and their gratitude in Spanish. So there it is again. I need to know what they're saying. Nolene, what did they say? So they'd have to kind of tell us what they were saying, but they were so grateful for us doing that for them. And like she said, somebody said about Victoria, she's got a lot of health issues. She don't even know she's going to be there next year. So she said, this might be it. But they were crying. It led to so many tears and handshakes. And it's an amazing, amazing thing that we can do by being a blessing. What does Acts 20:35 say? Everybody knows that verse. Acts 20:35. What's that magic little thing it says? Anybody? It's more blessed to give than receive. And that's our whole thing. I think it was brought up on our team. We've got to look to be able to be a servant when we're over there. Not a control freak like I tend to can be sometimes. Not somebody that wants to take control or improve the process or be more punctual. You know, we are there to serve. And we've got to have that attitude and that mindset. Now here, I'm in the closing. Everybody's favorite words. I'm in the closing. The overwhelming enemy. I think it's so ironic, or it's not. I don't think it's a coincidence. The overwhelming enemy, the devil, like the pastor spoke about this morning, he wants us paralyzed by the sheer size of the harvest field. We support over 100 missionaries. I think a lot of people get overwhelmed with that. We feel like we can't touch them all, so let's just not do nothing. Let's go quiet. Let's do that strategy. You remember John R. Rice's famous quote? You can't win everybody to the Lord, but you can always win somebody. The same concept goes to this. You know, you can't carry the burden for all 100 of these. You can't know each and every one of these personally, but you can get yourself a handful, 5 or 6, and really get to know them, connect with them, pray for them, know their personal needs, and that's just going to make a huge, huge difference. So just in the very closing and a summary, okay, we can obviously, number one, we pray for them, but we don't pray for them in a lazy way. We pray for them in an earnest, in a steadfast way, in a real way, in a way that perseveres. It's going to be a real personal prayer, number one. We're going to support them financially through faith promise, but keep in mind, that's after your tithe. I just got to say that just in case. That's above and beyond. We've got to do that, but we've also got to support them, not only financially, but we've got to do that through encouraging them by just telling them personally how grateful we are for what they do. I tell you, you know, I'm a sports fan to this day, but I'm nothing like I used to be. I used to be a true addict. I'd stay home from church to watch football. That's how bad I used to be. Many years ago, right? Long time ago. But sports, an addict. I'm a sports addict. But my heroes back in the day used to always be athletes. Now it's like athletes were my heroes when I was younger. Those guys that are pastors and missionaries are my true earthly heroes. That's who we need to be looking up to. That's who we need to be supporting. That's who we need to be personally connected with. That's who we need to say thank you. That's who we need to give a firm handshake and just tell them we appreciate what they do and pray for them and support them. So that's just my wrap up here. But one last thing, the call to action. We do know next year it's going to be in July. We don't have the exact date yet, but it's going to be in July of 2027. We're going to probably try to get a date fairly soon. So we're going to have a date. Pastor said it before, start saving now, start praying for it now, start planning ahead, because you know what, the longer we leave it, it's going to be more, we're going to have more excuses, we're going to have less time to do anything about it, so do it now. And I tell you what I would love personally to have a man go with me. If you notice, I was the only man there, right? It's all ladies and me, but luckily the staff, a lot of staff guys, you know, the missionary, so I got to hang out with guys and the guy kids and all that, but I would love to take a guy up the mountain with me, go to Brother Ryan's discipleship classes, go to his preaching, and be a blessing up there to the men. The needs are great. The needs are great. They're everywhere. But the men, you know, in certain ways, the men need it the most because, and again, I can sit here and tell you long stories, but I'm already past my time. The men over there not only need to be a Christian, they need to learn how to be a man first. The men over there, Brother Ryan's working on classes to disciple him, but he's also working on classes to show him how to be a man and a father and a husband. He needs to show him how to write a check. there's such a need over there for them to be men before they can even go to the next level. There's opportunities. If I have another man with me, we'll go do that. We will go up the mountains. We'll go up there and do some things for the men's ministry. And we'll let the women go to the women's widows and the other things. They can do that, which they did as well. But, you know, there's men's needs that we could do as a man, help that. And, you know, you will be a blessing, but you're going to be more blessed. And I think that's every time I've ever gone, I'm much more blessed then I'm a blessing. They just bless me. And it's an amazing thing. I really recommend you go. Think about it. Pray about it. But I do lastly want to thank the church, Pastor Riggs, for allowing us to do this. Thanks for allowing the church to have a love offering. That's a big deal. We were able to raise it's over $3,000 for food bags and hygiene bags. That's an amazing, amazing thing that y'all were partakers in that. And I just want to thank all y'all again for that because you were partakers for that. But let's turn... Let's make ourselves be more from a bystander to a participator. That's my challenge to y'all. Let's be an actual person that's going to participate and get down and do this. And it's ready for next year. If you have any questions at all, see any of us. We'd be happy to answer any questions. Come and look at our table. And again, that's all I've really got. Pastor, you can end it, close it.